In the dark, I fed my dream. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, B-I-O-V, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 484 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only pimp cast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and occasionally prostitutes.
Permaculture PIMP with Soulful Grace in a VIP guest where we find out.
Well, happy Monday, every out. Well, is it happy? I don't know, man. This has been a strange couple of days. I guess I'll come to that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC will get you 5% off. Also, myredlight.com. Jonathan Otto, my man Jonathan Otto over there, has got some pretty awesome products over there. And if they're blacking out the sky where you are, you might want to consider some of them. So BB25 will get you 25% off any single item, and BB30 will get you 30% off any bundled items. So go check it out over there at Red Light, myredlight.com. Yeah, there I am trying to get cute. All righty. So I'm going to be running this one solo today. William has he has another obligation. Want to thank everybody that's in the live house right now. What do we got? Who's your pioneer? Juby Joe, Nancy. Hello, everybody out there. Well, if you got questions, remember, as always, put them in, you know, like Nancy did over there, put them in big, bold letters so I can see them with these BCGs, and those are birth control glasses. Yeah, not my best stuff in the world. But anyway, man, is anybody out there kind of perplexed with what's going on with the weather? I know. I sound like a broken record on this. We get up this morning, you know, and I go through my normal routine where I'm out there doing my breathing. I do this breathing method. In fact, I'm doing a couple of things. I probably ought to talk about that. I'm doing this breathing method from a guy named Erwin Lacour. It's this French guy who has like the world record in static breath holds. And every morning I get up and do this sort of thing. Now, when I had some bug last week, man, it was really, really tough. Like right now, I'm able to hold my breath, and you do it over and over and over again. So the way it works is you take a deep breath, you sit in, I don't know, a chair, whatever, lay down, whatever makes you comfortable, and you take a deep breath and you hold it for a specified period of time. Now, if you go through the course, you'll figure out what that is for you. It's different for everybody else. For me, it's 2 minutes and 34 seconds. And so you do it the first time, then there's a little wait, and then you do it again, but progressively the time gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So I know about how long it takes me to get through this thing, usually about 30 minutes. And then we get out and do the animals and, get everything moved every single day. It's like Groundhog Day. But this morning, good night, there was something really, really weird happening all this weekend. And I'll come to that in a minute, but I'll start with what happened this morning. We got this crazy fog, which nobody's going to think, okay, fog is unusual. But right off the bat, Michelle says something, man, I feel weird. Something's not right about this fog. And then all of a sudden, we get down to the sheep, and then lo and behold, I can't even tell you, folks, we haven't had rain in a little while. It's been, I don't know, maybe 5-6 days maybe. And all of a sudden, most of the sheep out there seem to have mud butt, like they got a parasite or something. And that was crazy. So, okay, that was the first thing. And then Michelle just couldn't seem to get one foot in front of the other. And I wasn't a whole lot better. So that was number one. But, you know, when we went to town this weekend, man, it was like the craziest stuff kept jumping off, like people doing bizarre stuff. Like there was this guy on Saturday. We had to go out. We went to the farmer's market in Black Mountain on Saturday. And good night, man. It was odd, because it was more like a flea market than it was a farmer's market. But, you know, it had its own little cool vibe there. There's a fish guy over there I got to go talk to, man. I was kind of, yeah, my brain wasn't working right when I walked by and he, you know, he said hi and everything. I need to go back there. If you're listening, bro, I know you said you listened to the show. I'm going to swing by next week. I'm going to buy some fish from you. I wasn't trying to ignore you. It's just my brain was just in a really, really weird place at that time. But I'll swing back and make sure I get some fish from you. Anyway, get over there. And then when we're coming back, we get into Asheville and we had to stop for something or another. And there's this guy losing his mind driving down the road and he's pumping his fist out the window, just yelling at the world. You could hear him over, you know, we had the windows up and you could still hear this guy going down this highway. Well, sure enough, we run into the same guy yesterday at a gas station while I'm had to go back into Asheville. We met some friends at this other farmer's market that operates on Sunday. So we went over there and sure enough, run into this same crazy dude, man. He is like seeing demons and all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, he was probably possessed, which really, I'll be honest with you folks. When you walk through Asheville, it is, you're probably going to walk past more witches by far than you do Christians. And that's just a fact. It is really, really crazy. But this guy was on another level, completely losing his mind. You know, and then everybody you come into or come across, just weird, just crazy, weird stuff. But that was all weekend. But anyway, get up in this morning dealing with that fog. Now, I'm looking at the weather forecast because I'm like, I'm trying to make bone sauce. You know, no chance of rain. And then sure enough, you know, a couple hours later, getting torrential downpour rain when it was not even close to being forecasted. And I'm judging by what I'm seeing in the chat right now, I guess I'm not the only one dealing with, Linden. I think I'm reading that right. It's hard for me to see with these glasses on, but yeah, saying the Virginia weather is off. Absolutely. It's off here too. It's off everywhere. And, you know, right here at the farm, it's usually not bad. I mean, ever since we installed those chem buster things, I can't remember the name of them. Ever since we put those in the ground, I mean, things seem to be, you know, it kind of punches through those chemtrails. You'll see them 360 around here, but not necessarily here. Well, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good when the sun is not within that dome that it's clearing out. But yeah, just weird stuff. I mean, like rain coming out of the nowhere and, you know, coming down like cats and dogs. But it looks like that's just par for the course these days. You know, you see the ripples, you go out and about, you see the ripples in the clouds, the whole nine yards. It's like there seems to be a quickening of sorts. And the powers that shouldn't be are definitely working in full. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, man, expect something to happen, because honestly, we should always expect it at this point. I mean, just remember, when you go out, make sure you have a means to get back home. And I mean, like, carry your bug out bag, make sure you have a weapon on you. If, you know, if you're comfortable doing that sort of thing, make sure you have a means to get back home, because we are living in a world right now that just seems, Asheville was already crazy to begin with. I mean, before COVID, now I'll explain it this way. When COVID happened, Asheville, let's say it was a 10, it dropped to about a 7. Didn't come back. When the hurricane hit, it dropped down to a 4, and it hasn't come back. And it is, you know, I think it's, you know, I'm here. This is what I see. So I'm starting to wonder if everybody else is experiencing this same sort of thing. Yeah, Nancy saying I had brain fog yesterday morning, and the coffee didn't even help. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Nancy, because we had exactly the same exact thing over this weekend. I'm getting adequate sleep. I'm doing this new program, which I'll talk about here in a minute, that seems to be helping a great deal on my sleep. Found an even better baker as of yesterday. And yeah, it's like I sat here. I pretty much don't even drink coffee for the most part anymore. And there was a couple of days where I could not put one foot in front of the other. I had coffee. Now, if you haven't had coffee in a while, and all of a sudden you drink it, there should be a massive jolt. I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. I know what it feels like when I drink coffee, which is why I don't drink it. Because for most people, I guess it might give them a little energy. If I drink the wrong stuff, man, it makes me psychotic. I can't make my brain work right. Nothing works right. I had coffee and it was relatively strong and it did absolutely nothing for me. Yeah, Linda Howdy from Monsoon Land. Yeah, I think we're all going to be feeling that here before long. Hopefully not in the way that they did over there in Tibet. Good night. And don't get me started on that. that whole thing over there, there's some intrepid researchers out there. People like, you know, had a little tiff with Amazing Polly, but she does good work talking about, hey, they're looking at the radar that before and after, and there was no glacier that fell into this thing. I mean, these days, I don't even know if the footage I'm looking at is even true. I mean, like, for example, Charlie Kirk. Okay, they're telling me, they give us the official story. Okay, this kid supposedly shot him, which I don't believe. And I said right here on this podcast, ain't no way on earth that was a 30-06. I was called a conspiracy nut the whole nine yards, but hey, yeah, you're finding out now. I know what a 30-06 will do, and that ain't it. Anyway, when you look at some of the footage that came out there, we're seeing doctored footage where chairs are falling through tables as if it was made by AI. Same thing with this stuff over there in Tibet. I don't even know it's true. And honestly, how much of what happened in Gaza can I even believe? Or how much? This is exactly the world we live in right now, where everything, unless I am physically there and I see it and I touch it and I smell it and taste it the whole nine yards, I am really not putting a whole lot of stock in a lot of what I see these days. So it all stays in that category of plausible until I get, you know, definite proof or proof from somebody I know that's not going to be selling me a line of BS. Anyway, so just be mindful of all the stuff they're coming out there. I mean, even Trump just put out something on Truth Social today of bombing Karg Island. I'm like, what planet am I living in? And if, you know, there were a lot of boomers that looked at that and thought it was legitimately happening and it was AI. So if they're doing it for that, I've seen a lot of other convincing AI out there. So just keep your head on the swivel, y'all. We say stay alert, stay alive for a reason because, well, number one, it's a saying in the Army, but also it fits. Good night, does it fit? All right, so on to some happier stuff. I'm going to tell you all about this other thing I started doing. Now, when I add a new something to my daily regimen, y'all, I don't remove the other things, just so everybody knows. I mean, if I do, I may lessen it a little bit. Like every morning I was doing the rebounding, and I could see the benefit in that. Y'all, if you don't know what that is, I'm basically bouncing up and down on a trampoline or I'm jogging in place, whatever the case, it can take many forms. You know, having not done that for a little while, I'm telling you what, Barbara O'Neill is right. You get up and you rebound, it kind of sets the whole engine for the day. It really, really does. And I was doing it for a while there for an hour every single day. Maybe not all at once, you know, do it in the times that I could. So maybe 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, even 30 minutes, occasionally even the whole hour at one time. But man, I really felt the needle move. Well, I stopped doing it and I'm realizing, okay, that was a mistake. So I need to, you know, graft that one right on back in. And then, of course, the breathing. I was doing Wim Hof breathing. Now I'm doing this Erwin LaCour breathing. I don't even know that it has a name, but if you look up his name, Erwin LaCour on X, French guy, lives in, I want to say Arizona or something like that. Absolutely genius. I'm going through his course, and he is an absolute genius. Anyway, totally different kind of breathing program, but I'm finding out there are benefits in both. Even though Erwin says his is better, there are times where Wim Hof, when I'm stressed out in a bad, bad way, Wim Hof breathing is the way I go. So I'm doing these things for myself, despite what every expert out there tells you. Get out there, do this stuff for yourself, and find out what works. And then maybe, if you're not sure, remove it for a little while, like I was talking about with the rebounding, and find out whether or not you feel the needle move in a big way. Well, anyway, one of the latest things I'm doing, it's called the Aleph Tav. Aleph, like the, it's like A and Z, but in Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew. Aleph and then Tav. And it's the Aleph Tav body system, and it's by a doctor, a naturopath. He's like a PhD naturopath. I never did know how to pronounce that properly, but anyway, that's what it is. And his name is Dr., dig this name, Dr. Alfonso Manzo. Alfonso Mondo. Say that 10 times. Anyway, this guy, he's got a quirky sense of humor. He's been on Mike Adams a couple of times, and I bought his program a while back. And then now he was on Mike Adams a little while ago, and you know, he's got this tutorial course. Been going through it. And in a nutshell, folks, I mean, this is going to sound a little bit strange. Imagine doing acupuncture on yourself but using your hands. I know there's another methodology out there. I don't recall the name of it, but this is totally different. and he's come up with his own system. So every night when I'm in the, what do you call that heat box? The sauna. Yeah. Every night when I'm in there sweating like a slave in that sauna, I'm listening to another course. And I started doing it like 4 nights ago. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I think this thing is legit. He's got a program. I mean, let's say you're a lady and you have female issues. Let's say it's endometriosis. Okay, well, let's say you touch this part and you touch this part. And he explains where all of these, imagine doing acupuncture, but you're using nothing but your own hands. Now, it can be done on someone else, but he came out with this course, and this is what I found attractive about it, is that you could do it on yourself. And I was thinking, in light of the world we're in right now, this might be one of the most beneficial preparedness courses everybody should take. Now, I'm not going to publicly announce that until I finish this thing and give it the old test drive. But there's even things you can do. Let's say a person's bleeding out or having a heart attack or a stroke. There are certain places you can put your hands on their bodies and it'll arrest the whole nine yards. Well, there are things you can do on yourself, and I've been doing them, and I'm not going to kid y'all, folks. I'm telling you, every night that I've been doing these, I felt like my sleep is on another level. It really, really is. I was never a big person for the longest time to put a whole lot of stock in the sleep. I was usually a person, I kind of prided myself to a certain extent of being a person that really didn't require much of it. Well, that's a lie. And, since I've done a 180 on that, but I'm here to tell y'all, Olive Tov, and you can get the whole course, or you can go to Dr. Monzo. I don't recall the name of his website, but I'll bet money there ain't another Dr. Alfonso Mondo on this planet. I'm pretty darn sure he's the only one. Anyway, naturopath, PhD, the whole nine yards. And not that that means anything to me, because at the end of the day, if this thing doesn't work, well, what good is it? But I'm thinking, what if I found myself, okay, imagine you're out and about, you're doing the thing, bam, 1 second after just unfolds. 1 second after, you're out there, I don't know, let's say your loved one has an issue, and the only thing you have on you is your hands. Now, if there is a healing modality that can, you know, put the brakes on it until you were able to get some sufficient medical help, I can't think, if this thing is legit, and I'm putting if out there because I haven't examined it all the way, but the things I have done seem to be moving the needle in a big way for me. But if this is legit, this is the ultimate prepper course in terms of, health and healthcare. I mean, obviously you want to have bandages and all that kind of stuff, but you may be in a position where you don't have it, or it may be an illness that doesn't require a bandage. So, I was thoroughly impressed when he was on with Mike Adams, and I'll let y'all know how that course goes. But so far, man, I'm a little blown away by what I've been able to do. He shows you all these points on the body, and so you do this self-care. Now, in a perfect world, you're doing it on someone else, or someone else is doing it on you. Well, he came up with this thing, to do it on yourself, which I think makes the most sense, because not everybody in today's busy world, where I know so many people right now are doing, multiple jobs just to try to put bread on the table. But let's say you got a desk job and you're able, and you are, like, there's one position, for example, for, let's say you're having problem with your, I'll just throw it out there, let's say it's your kidney. Okay, you may touch Olive Tov position number 9, and I'm guessing on what this is because I don't know it that well yet, and it's on the back of your, right around your shoulder blade. And let's say the other one goes on the inside of your elbow and you just hold it there for 5 minutes. Let's say you got an office job. Okay, maybe you're able to do that for 5 minutes or just a minute, or other things by just taking your thumb and wrapping your hand about it, or one of your other fingers, depending on what ailment you have and what it corresponds to. Folks, I'm here to tell you, when I'm doing my deep breathing in the morning, I stack functions. When I'm doing my deep breathing in the morning, I'm calling it deep breathing, but I'm doing my, Erwin LaCour breathing, I'm also doing my fingers at the same time with this Olive Tov system. Then when I'm out there, after we get done moving the animals, I take off all my clothes, and Michelle and I both face to the east with very little clothes on at all. you know, trying to do that Jack Cruz thing where you're looking at the morning sun and I'm looking directly at it. At the same time, I'm also doing my memorization for Psalms. And at the same time, I'm also doing the finger manipulation. So I'm stacking three functions all at the same time while I'm looking at the sunrise. So I'm saying all this to say, folks, look, even if you have a job or whatever the case may be, this might be a course that makes sense for you. In fact, I'll try to get him on this show to see if now that I've, you know, now that I'm doing this thing a little bit, I'm going to get him on here and see if we can't talk about, you know, how this might be a benefit or a blessing to everybody else, like, you know, that may be in the same. I just don't understand why, if there's a healing modality like this, I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to know it. So I'll try to get him on the show and we'll talk about it. I didn't expect to talk about it so much, but doggone it. Folks, I'm trying to let y'all know every single thing because I know that this country is heading to hell in a handbasket, minus a miracle. I'll preface it with that. Without the Lord stepping in, things are about to get really, really stupid. If for no other reason than just the oil stuff, if what we can believe about that is unfolding, things are going to get crazier. Healthcare, people are not going to have the money to go in there and spend a pile of money to go to the emergency room. Well, what if you're able to prevent it to begin with? What if you're able to do this stuff or maybe even teach your kids, hey, junior, when you're having a little anxiety attack, try this or do that or put your hands on these different places because it really works that way. So, yeah, I'll try to get Dr. Mondo on here and get to talking about this and find out how it may make sense to a whole lot of folks out there. But I wanted to do it at least. I've been wanting to get this guy on for a while, but I didn't. I bought his book a while ago, but I didn't want to get him on here until I actually gave it the old college try. Because until you have some kind of understanding, I just don't feel like I could ask intelligent questions until I'm getting in here. Because if it doesn't work, I'll tell him, hey, man, well, number one, I wouldn't have him in here. But anyway, folks, I'll just leave that one right there. So let me tell you some other things that happened this weekend. Spelt Pizza. Never had that one before. But our friends invited us over to this farmer's market. It's like almost like a private farmer's market. It's not private. It's this group of families. And I want to say they call themselves 12 Tribes. I think that's what the name of it is. And they have this communal kind of farm. And by the way, this is the only time I've ever seen communal relationships on a homestead actually work unless they are bound by some religious construct. I have never seen one that works ever, ever. Now, there are three outside of the Amish that I know of that actually make it work, and they've done it, and they've been doing it for a very, very long time. These folks are among them. And like I said, you know, like with the Amish, they don't have any, everybody has their own little piece of Idaho. They don't all live under one roof. And a lot of these intentional communities, when I was first looking into them back in Kansas, man, you got wife swappers, nudists, a whole nine yards, man. Ain't even trying to get mixed up in that kind of stuff. But anyway, these guys got a farmer's market and it's in the south side of Asheville. So we went over there and they were going on about this pizza. And so it's made out of spelt. And they also make sourdough spelt bread over there, folks. I ain't going to lie to you. Straight up. I had no idea how, number one, good bread could be. Michelle makes better bread than anybody because she can put the work into it. She just ain't got the time to fool with it right now. In the winter, you know, that's going to be a different matter altogether. You ain't ever going to catch me eating no Wonder. But this bread here, you know, the place in Mars Hill is really good. But I have zero reaction at all eating this spelt bread that is every bit as good as anything I've ever had with zero reaction. And Michelle is even more sensitive than I am. So we went out here with our friends. We ate these pizzas, and I'm expecting to have to run to the bathroom, you know, asking where the porta potty is, the whole nine yards. Nothing. So I said, okay, this has worked out well. Let's go ahead and get a loaf of this sourdough. And there's a lot of folks calling their stuff sourdough, and it's a bunch of garbage because it ain't. Believe me, I'll know. Sooner or later, I'll know. Anyway, she got a loaf of that sourdough in a baguette, and it was also sourdough made out of spelt. Folks, zero reaction at all. I ate that bread on the pizza yesterday. I had it for dinner last night, had it for breakfast this morning, and had it, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes before I got into this studio. and I had some leftover brisket, and I'm like, okay, I'll make me a little sandwich out of this. No problems whatsoever. So spelt, you might want to put that on your Azure list over there, folks. You know, I don't know what these folks are doing any different, but I have never had a better reaction to eating some kind of grain than I did for spelt, and Michelle the same way. So, yeah, I'll try to give, for anybody that's in the vicinity, man, I'll try to get you a better location for these guys. But, man, I was and am thoroughly impressed. All right, so other things here. Bone sauce, we got plenty online for those that are blowing me up about it. But I want to talk about something else. And Joel Salatin actually addressed a little bit of it in his blog that he sent out. I think it was today. And it has to do with Trump's executive order. As soon as this thing came out, I heard what it was. And I remember just kind of scratching my head like, what? This ain't news. I mean, what? I mean, what am I supposed to do with this? So in a nutshell, you're telling me that farmers can go ahead and eat their own food. That's all it's saying in this executive order. But every Trump tard out there, and yeah, I'm saying it that way because at this point, if you can't see this guy, and folks, for ones that are going to write in and send me an email, oh, you're a liberal Democrat. No, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. It's not red state. It's not blue state. It's the state against you. And the second we all wake up to that, the more we'll realize it doesn't matter who that puppet is in the White House. He's going to do what they say, or he's going to wind up like JFK. You dig? And a couple of other presidents that didn't toe the line. That's another story altogether. But anyway, comes out with this executive order telling everybody, oh, yeah, wonderful. Happy days are here again. And sure enough, all these boomers out there, and I'm not dogging all boomers. I'm just saying these are the ones I saw. They're in here celebrating like it's the second coming. And I'm like, if you read what he said, I'm sitting here scratching my head. And I'm like, unless I'm missing something here, all he's saying is that farmers can butcher their own food. Well, yeah, we always could. And there are those of us out here that don't care about what your rules are and are going to do it anyway and give it or sell it to whomever we want. And I can't even believe I got to sit here and treat the meat that I process myself like I'm a freaking drug dealer. Can't cross a state line with it. Can't sell it to anybody. But I could take that same meat, put it in the smoker out there, go to a potluck with all of you in this audience, and it's perfectly legal. Explain that one to me. Well, I said before, I don't follow unjust laws, and I ain't going to start now. So piss on Trump and the rest of that administration and the one before him and the one before that one, which was Trump, and the one before that one, all of them can kiss my dimpled Chad, because at the end of the day, I'm not following your rules and I ain't asking for permission. Free people don't. As long as you're not harming anybody downstream of you, I don't care what you're doing. Well, I care. I mean, obviously, I pray for your soul and stuff like that. I do care about what you're doing, but I'm not going to try to legislate what you put into your body. But yeah, this fool signs this executive order like he did somebody. What is this, like, to hide all this beef that came in that probably ain't even beef? I mean, for all I know, man, it's some Koreans that they snatched up and put in a grinder. I'm not eating that garbage, but I know that there are people out there that have to. And it burns me up that they even got to deal with this kind of stuff. But anyway, bottom line is that executive order is a bunch of hogwash. And Joel just basically corroborated everything I just said, because he came out with his blog today saying almost word for word what I said. Like, what am I missing here? So you just gave everybody permission. I mean, and Joel is not being kind anymore. Well, he's not going to talk the way I do, but you can tell in his language that he is pretty much done with this administration, because we've been lied to up one side and down the other. You know, Trump was supposed to be the person to come in and set all this stuff right, and we've all been betrayed. But there are the hangers-on. And then if you look at some of the comments in Joel's blog, you know, they're coming down on him. Not all of them, but there's a couple of idiots in there. And it is what it is. Yeah, so, yeah, that we can – so it's okay for me to process my own stuff. Wonderful. Didn't solve anything. The second you try to sell it, all of a sudden you're a criminal. All right. So Nessus Hemp, look, y'all, if you're using CBD oil like I use every single night, You want to get it from Nessa's because she has CBDA and she is an absolute Nazi about how that stuff is processed. Don't buy that gas station garbage. Don't buy any of that stuff in town. She's got the best stuff out there, and that's exactly the reason why I endorse it, because folks, just like everything else on this show, I don't tell you about it unless I'm using it. So also the mushroom guys, we'll have them linked down below. Man, I can't even think of the name of the company, but I even bought more of his product. It seems to work extremely well, and his processing seems to be second to none. So I'll get that one on here the next time. But yeah, his mushroom stuff, I'm using it every day as well. Anyway, Nessa's Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. You want some of these ball and blue light blockers? Bond Charge, B-O-N, Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, y'all, this blue light is a killer in so many different ways. And if you knew the full extent of why they use this blue light, in a nutshell, it makes you more suggestible. That's why all your TVs out there, what's coming out of them? Blue light. All your LED light bulbs, take it from me, a 30-year journeyman electrician, all of them, blue light. They eliminate the full spectrum because they know blue light will make you highly suggestible. They're hitting us 30 ways to Sunday, and then these scrawling mirrors that we call phones, all blue light, unless you change it around. There's software you can get for your computer. It's called Iris. If you have an iPhone, you can triple-click it on the side. You'll have to look that one up because, folks, y'all, I'm a bit of a freaking Luddite when it comes to this stuff. Had to look it up. Anyway, there's ways you can take your phone and get rid of all the blue out of it when you have to. But anyway, even still, when the sun's going down or close to it, believe me, I got these glasses on all the time. So I got these amber color for, you know, when it's still daytime out there where you can still have a little bit of blue light. And then I got the red for when you shouldn't be having any blue light at all. So yeah, Bond Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. And then finally, Soil Savers. Anybody wanting that? You know where to get it. We got the link down below. All right, so let me get into some of this good news. Check this out. U.S. beekeepers sue the USDA for allegedly imported organic honey misleads customers and violates federal law. Folks, I wish I knew the name of the show on Netflix. I want to say Rotten was the name of it. And I saw this thing a few years back. They were talking about, in fact, even in this article, they cite the fact that, 80% of the honey sold in the U.S. is imported. And the honey is so good, according to this documentary, the honey, when I say so good, I mean good as a forgery, that they're producing in China, that the only way anybody can tell that it's fake is by looking at it under a microscope. And even then, it's touch and go. That's how good they are at making the synthetic stuff. But yeah, they'll put it in the fancy little bottles. They'll drop it off in the store, the whole nine yards. And this is precisely why with our honey, I don't even sell it. We trade with it like, some really awesome folks that we know. He's a blacksmith. And his wife does farm work and raises the kids all day and makes some ball and cheese. We trade them honey for milk or honey for cheese or whatever the case may be. Because I guarantee you, a lot of these so-called organic honeys in the store, 80% of them are fake, y'all. Anyway, they're being sued. And the beekeeper associations are suing the USDA for allowing this to happen. It's pretty astonishing when you break down how much of the garbage, there's so much of it, y'all, where, they're not allowed to, a lot of European countries will not accept a lot of this garbage. And guess where it goes? Right here to the United States of Amnesia. But it does give me a little bit of hope knowing that there's people out there, bringing the task or at least getting this. That's why I'm calling it good news, because they're at least getting the word out. Folks, find your local beekeepers. I really don't. In the course of a year, I might eat, at best, maybe 8 ounces of honey in a year. Maybe I go through phases where I'll have a little bit more, a little bit less, but I'm usually taking it for medicinal reasons or stuff like that. I'm not a big sweet tooth person, except for that cake Michelle just made for my 55th birthday. By the way, I am actually 55 now. I was telling everybody for the last couple of years, I was wrong by a whole year on my own birthday. That's how little it matters to me. but it matters enough for my beautiful wife to sit here and make the best chocolate cake known to humankind. And yeah, I'm coming out of retirement for that one. So you better believe I'm going to put, she's down there making, she's putting that thing together right now. But too late in the day for me to be partaking. So I'm going to have a little bit tomorrow, and then I'm going to have to find a way to freeze all this stuff. I know one thing, I need to get Ben over from Renewed Homestead. Ben could eat this whole doggone thing and not even bat an eye. Talk about a guy with a sweet tooth. But I think me and Ben both. But anyway, yeah. Got to be careful with that honey, y'all. So here's the next one. Study links beverage choice to dementia risk, finds coffee and tea protective. I'm bringing this one up. Folks, hang on a second. I got to get a drink. All right. Yeah. I had some questions in here. Sorry, y'all. This study talking about the beverage choices and how it leads to dementia. Bottom line, here's why I brought this up is because every single time I got to go in the grocery store for something, you know, it's usually something small for the most part. It's usually not a lot of things, you know, like for example, I ran out of flipping onions. So I had to go in there and go buy a bag of onions. And, what else? What was I after? I don't recall, but it was like maybe two items. And as I'm passing everybody in that store, mostly senior citizens, I'm a stone's throw away from that myself. Anyway, I'm passing mostly senior citizens. And in just about every single case, everybody has soda in their carts. I'm like, okay, they got Coke, but they're buying the name brand soft drinks, but have best choice generic beans or bread or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, man, we sure got a lot of things backwards here. I'm not dogging these folks, man. I know that everybody is doing whatever they can, and people got sugar addictions, they got alcohol addictions, they got drug addictions, they got whatever addictions out there. I'm not dogging you for that, because the powers that shouldn't be really want us that way. But the thing is, every single cart, no matter what it was, they all had sodas in there. And this is exactly what they're citing in this article, is that if you could just lay off the soda, and even if you were to replace it with coffee or tea, you'll find out that there are at least benefits to, you know, drinking those substances. Like I said a moment ago, I gave up coffee. I didn't give it up completely. I'll have it once a week, maybe on Saturday when I go to this. I'll stop by this one highfalutin coffee shop when we leave the farmer's market, and I'll go there. And I mean, they know exactly what to make the second I walk in there. I drink that once a week. But honestly, out there, they got this yerba mate at that farmer's market we went to. So I've started drinking some of that this morning. I said, man, let me try it. Well, it gave me the same kick as coffee, but I didn't have the jittery or losing my mind effect. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can dig this stuff. So I made a little tea out of it. Yeah, it works out great. But the point is, to this article, you got to put down the soda, y'all. You got to do it because it's killing your brain. And especially the diet sodas are actually worse. If you read this article, the diet sodas are actually worse than the stuff with high fructose corn syrup in it. I mean, that is absolutely crazy, because these artificial sweeteners, things like aspartame and some of these others, if you knew the history on that, folks, you wouldn't touch it. You had people like, believe it or not, he was a lobbyist. He was a former Secretary of Defense under Bush 2. I can't even think of his name right now. But anyway, he was working for the pharmaceutical and the lobby back in the day. And they got all of these sweeteners passed, even though they knew it was burning holes in the brains of all the mice they tested it on. Yeah, all that stuff that's in Diet Coke and Pepsi and all that stuff. Yeah, they got all that approved. Rumsfeld, that was his name. Donald Rumsfeld. And he got all that stuff passed. And so here it is. It's in our drinks right now. But folks, you want to stay away. I know I'm telling you stuff you might already know, but I'm saying this is good news because there are alternatives out there. Honestly, when I am really, really thirsty, when I come out of the sauna, I'll tell you the thing I like to drink. It ain't soda. Carbonation, when you are dehydrated, really, it makes all the difference in the world for your thirst. Plus, there's a lot of health benefits in drinking carbonated water anyway. I use a brand called Gerolsteiner. I ain't even sure I'm pronouncing it right, but it's a lower deuterium depleted water, and it's also carbonated, and it is mineral rich in a big, big way. So when I'm fasting, I love this stuff. And I also love it when in other cases where I'm like, man, I'm a little bit dehydrated. Yeah, I'm reaching for that stuff. So It tastes better to me than a soda ever would. In fact, I can't remember the last time I actually had one. It might have been when T and Amber were over when we were butchering a sheep or something like that. Anyway, the last one. Last good news article, pumpkin seed, a plant protein powerhouse. Okay, a couple of reasons I'm bringing this up. Number one, we're about in the pumpkin season, okay? And Michelle's got a bunch of Cherokee tans growing down the hill. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't had a Cherokee tan, get one. And you're going to find out the permaculture pimp daddy is not leading you astray. It has the most pumpkin-y of pumpkin flavor you've ever had in your life. She's even growing another one. I don't recall the name of it. It has another Native American name to it, but I don't recall the name of it. Haven't tried that one before, but I'm telling you what, if you ever have pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie, pumpkin roll, pumpkin anything, and it was made out of Cherokee tan, you will lose your ever-loving mind. You will never, ever, ever buy that stuff in the store again. In fact, you will take this stuff, you'll cook it down, you'll puree it, and you'll can it for your own self all year long, because I'm telling you, it is the most superior pumpkin taste I've ever had in my life. But in addition to that, I wasn't even trying to talk about that. Every single day, I eat pumpkin seeds. Why? Well, number one, with the pumpkins, you're getting about 8 ounces of protein, 8 grams of protein per ounce. But here's another reason why I love those seeds in a big, big way. When I have pigs, what's my number one dewormer? Pumpkin seeds. Or just give them the whole doggone pumpkin. Because I'm usually going to process in the fall anyway. And if you're going to, you know, you want to definitely kick up the pumpkin near the end of it, because they'll eat the seeds and everything. Pumpkin is a natural dewormer. I eat pumpkin seeds every single day on my salad. Or every day I eat a salad about 80% of the time every single day. Today's one of those days where I actually didn't. But there are certain things I make absolutely sure are in there. Number one, we got a lot of fermented stuff. Make sure that's in there. And it's also a vehicle for me to put in things that I ordinarily wouldn't want to eat, like some of the bitter things out there that are really, really good for you, but don't necessarily taste good by themselves. But I also throw in pumpkin seeds every single time, because it's not only a dewormer for your animals in a big, big way, it's also a dewormer for you. That's exactly the reason why I wanted to cover this article, because I'm like, okay, they don't know about this part, or they've kind of forgotten about that part. So that is a big, big deal. I take pumpkin seeds every day, and I'm going to continue as long as I can. So there's your three good news articles out there. Man, I can't believe how much time I've eaten up already. And before we go back, let me go ahead and hit some of these questions right here before I get into the main thing. Nancy says, I'm switching back to my light bulbs. Yeah, back to incandescent. I'll tell you what I had to do, Nancy, and folks, incandescents are about as difficult to find as Bin Laden. So what I had to do, believe it or not, I had to buy a bunch of freaking appliance bulbs, because they come in 40 watts and they got to have them for the refrigerators and stuff out there. I still to this day cannot find legit incandescent bulbs on the shelf. Yeah, they can sell them, but ain't nobody carrying them. So I'm getting the 40-watt bulbs. I must have kept them in business. It's local. I hit everybody. I hit Ace, hit Lowe's, hit this local hardware store, hit this other store around the corner. I can't even tell you how many of them incandescent refrigerator bulbs is basically what I got. It's come to that. I got refrigerator bulbs throughout this whole house because I am not going to use those LEDs. I for the longest time I did. When I found out how dangerous that light was, believe me, everything came out of there. So, yeah, smart move, Nancy. Nancy says also happy birthday. Thanks. I'm still older than you. Happy birthday. Yeah, thank you, and happy new year. I'm getting some of that too. All right. Somebody says, what brand of pumpkin seeds? Oh, yeah, Juby Joe. I don't really know the brand. I go through what do you call that place? There's a lot of weirdos around here, but there's a lot of specialty shops and little small health stores and stuff like that. They're all over. And that's usually the place I go. They have them in a bulk section. You can save a little bit of money to getting them that way. But then I also get my walnuts that way too, because they're organic. I get my organic walnuts, Brazil nuts, you know, eating three of them a day will give you all the selenium you need. Walnuts, really good for your brain. You know, they kind of look like a brain when you look at them. And also the seeds, I try to get them there as well. But there's some other good, well, I can't vouch for a lot of other good brands out there, but these people may be weird as a three-headed cat, but they are absolutely fastidious about the products that they have in their store. So yeah, thank you all for the birthday wishes. I usually don't even tell anybody, but I did this time because I was talking about Michelle's cake. Yeah, my birthday to me, y'all, I don't remember a single birthday since I was 25. So to me, it's just another number. I really don't pay much attention to it. Although I do put a lot of stock in everybody else's birthday. It's just an arbitrary day to me. So, anyway, thank you all so much. All right, so we don't have anything from Eric. Boy, everybody's leaving me alone today. EMP Shield, y'all, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Been a journeyman electrician for almost 30 years. And I've installed a lot of transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, mostly in car plants and tire plants for some reason. And I'm here to tell you, there ain't a better one out there in the business. If anything gets Kentucky Fried downstream from that EMP Shield, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. So definitely get out there. And remember, EMP might be a legit concern, no doubt, but lightning is a much bigger concern, and there's not a better lightning arrestor out there. Hold steady. Another drink. Sorry about the dramatic pause. And thank God for the cough button, because I went down the wrong pipe. All right. So the convenience trap. The reason why I want to talk about this today is, you know, they're one of my favorite songs from an artist named Keb Moe. He's one of the real true artists out there. And folks, like everything else, I don't listen to music that plays on the radio. I love old school country music, you know, the stuff where people actually wrote the song. You know, Waylon, Hank, all these people actually wrote their songs and performed them. Country these days is about as bankrupt as every other genre of music. I mean, and rap in the 80s when it first came out, you know, it was fun. It was about going to a party. It was just ha, ha, ha. Then it became something that was really, really bastardized. So these days, my favorite genre, I don't have a favorite genre of music because I listen to it all. I mean, it could be harp music. I listen to that. If it's really good, the music I love more than anything are people that maybe most people haven't ever heard of. One guy did get a little bit of notoriety. His name was Keb Moe, and he wrote a song. It's called Victims of Comfort. And that whole album that he had there, it may have been his first album, I don't recall, but there was not a bad song on that entire album. But one of the songs that always stuck out to me is We're Victims of Comfort. And what he describes is he basically gets into the pollution problem. But for me, it sang to so many other things. And I still, every time I'm scrolling through, and I do occasionally listen to music, that's one of the things I do listen to. And every time I hear that song, it makes me take stock of myself. You know, because convenience always has a hidden cost. It always has and always will. I mean, I guess the intent is to give us more freedom and all those things like that to be able to do other things, but it seems like every single convenience that's added to us, like, for example, these phones or computers, all this stuff was supposed to make our lives easier, and now people are more hectic and frantic and, you know, pulling their hair out now more than they ever have been. And if I'm not careful, I honestly find myself in that same boat. Or how much time do you spend in front of this thing? You know, it's so darn convenient because you can make a phone call, clearly. You can do your banking on your phone. You can, you know, reach out to people in the social media platform. You can do all these things. But it comes at a very steep cost, because remember what I was saying a minute ago about that blue light? Well, also, they're programming you every single time you do that. There's not a keystroke you use that isn't collected. That whole data center in Bluffdale, Utah, they made that thing for the express purpose to keep tabs on everybody. This came out years ago. And still most people have never even heard about that thing and the water usage it's had for, you know, forever and a day. But with this freedom, you know, we're trading skills, knowledge, I mean, privacy, clearly resilience. I mean, because of all these things make us victims of comfort. In fact, I probably should have titled this show that very thing, Victims of Comfort. You know, even the grocery store, which I was talking about a minute ago, it creates this illusion of choice, but that's not where food comes from. Not real food for the most part. I was out there shooting shorts. Since I'm not able to do full-length videos right now, I'm trying to put shorts out there in all the platforms because I think it's important. Now, do you get paid much for that on YouTube? Absolutely not, but they don't pay me anyway. They intentionally try to suppress, but I'm thinking I can get maybe more people to see some of this information that they can take and glean and, you know, start doing on their own if I can wrap it in about a minute or so. And it seems to be working, I think, in a big way, at least for me, to be able to, you know, scratch that itch to get this information out there. And it might just hit the right person that needs to hear it. But anyway, most of the people of all of us, and I'm not coming down on anybody out here, they have no idea where that food even came from. They have no idea that most of that tropical fruit that's in there, you should be eating quite sparingly. In a big, big way. And the reason why is your body is not adapted to the tropics, unless you're in the tropics listening to this right now. And most of that stuff, just like, and I'm going to go on again, if William was here, he'd laugh at me. I'm going to go on about the avocado oil. I mean, perfect example. That scandal just broke out, just came and went. Not one company addressed anything about it. You know why? Because they know, I think they realize that the populace simply does not care. And they won't, because they think this is where I get my food. But as I was saying a minute ago, if you look at the driving I have to do to go get the stuff we eat, okay, if I want bread, I got to go to South Asheville. If I want cheese, I got to go over to Bernardsville, or I got to go over to Leicester. If I want milk, I got to go back over to Leicester. If I want these, so I source everything I possibly can by not going to the grocery store. Now, is that an inconvenience? I don't think it is. Because it gives me a chance to at least interact with other people like myself, like all of you out there that feel the same way about the food they eat. You know, they're not wanting to buy this honey in the store. So guess what? I provide that to them. I don't want to buy that cheese off the shelf over there, but I know this lady that's making this cheese, and, you know, I treat this stuff like it's Fort Knox. I mean, I eat it very sparingly, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, when you raise pigs, your bacon consumption differs quite a bit, because you know what you realize the first time you process a pig? Let's say it's a Duroc, or let's say it's a Red Wattle. You realize real quick that even if it's a, let's say, a 300-pound pig, you're probably only going to get off that one pig, if you are very lucky, you might have 30 pounds of bacon on there when it's all said and done, if you're very lucky. Now, try to titrate that over a year. 30 pounds of bacon, considering the, you know, the American mindset. It gives you a greater respect for that animal when you realize, man, this is one pig, and I get 30 pounds out of this. How do I ration that over the year and make it work? Especially if you want to eat it every morning for breakfast. So you got to think about those kinds of things. And doing life this way means that it gives you a better relationship on where and how your food comes from. And maybe we aren't supposed to eat some of this stuff every single day. Now, so if you're a butcher, there's a whole lot of that pig I can turn into breakfast sausage, okay? Or if I got people here that I know are not going to want to eat that, well, I got sheep breakfast sausage that I make as well. So you got your options out there, but it all requires skills. And you can't, just like Joel always says, you can't Google experience. So you got to get out there, get your hands wet. You know, and that's really the sad part of a lot of it. We've outsourced feeding ourselves in a big way. You know, growing vegetables even, you know, even a little bit, we've outsourced a lot of that. This is why I was encouraging so many people, look, even if you have a garden out back, maybe consider growing some microgreens in the spaces there. You know, raising chickens, not everybody is going to be in a place where you can do that. I get it, but you do what you can, even if it means doing it in a windowsill. Wherever you can, try to grow something. Even if it's mushrooms in a closet, it makes all the difference in the world when it's something that you procured somehow. Broccoli sprouts, folks, it doesn't get any easier than that. And they are power-packed in a massive way. You know, we've even outsourced, good night, man. There are people out there that got their whole house on an app. I've never seen anything like it, man. I mean, you could sit here on this app, see who's out in the front door, see who's out back. I mean, I knew a guy that networked his entire house. But you know, there's a downside to all that too, because now you're being bombarded with EMF 24/7. You know what, man? There is a reason. I mean, they can go ahead and put them, I don't know what those little flock cameras that they got for the front porch out there. What happened to a good old fashioned peephole? It's what I use. I mean, or a dog or whatever the case may be. I know everybody's going to be a little bit different, but it's crazy. And now we got apps to go shopping for you, for crying out loud. I mean, we can have dinner, groceries, I mean, prescriptions, practically anything brought to the front door these days. I mean, when did walking outside to go to the store become so big a hassle? I've known people, even William for a little time did DoorDash, had a friend, Tracy, who did it for a while. And I am floored that people actually do a DoorDash for some Starbucks coffee. I'm dead serious. I didn't even know that was a thing. You will do a DoorDash to drop off some coffee to some clown who can't even walk out the front door to go get, or better still, make it themselves. Folks, this is a really crazy place. We got a disposable culture in so many ways. Going right back to that Kev Mo song. Folks, if you get a chance, go out there and listen to that song. It's called Victims of Comfort by Keb, K-E-B Mo. And tell me if this song doesn't touch you, especially now. It always did to me, because I always had this relationship, I think, with Earth. But it always touched me in a big way. But folks, we got a disposable culture in a big, big way. There was a time, even when I was a kid, when something broke, man, you tried to fix it. Nobody had money. Everybody I knew was broke. So if you had a bicycle tire, man, you patched it up. And even honestly, us young men at the time, you felt like a grown man by being able to patch your own bike tire. You almost wanted a flat so you can go out there and do it. You know, it's crazy. I mean, we've gotten to the point even, and this, when you really think about it, it kind of blows me away when I think about it. We don't even own things anymore. I mean, think about even our entertainment. We don't even own it. We got a subscription out there, most of us. Yeah, I got a bunch of DVDs out there. I don't watch them, but I got them. You know, mostly like Marvel movies and stuff like that. You know, some, you know, love stories like Thor. You know, chick romantic comedy, you know, romantic comedies, you know, stuff like, you know, Avengers. Things like that, you know, that are totally in my wheelhouse. But the bottom line is, we got death by 1,099.95s, you know? You got all these different, you got meal plans, heated seats, security, I mean, software, all these crazy things that are going on right now. But the thing that really floors me more than anything is now this convenient. We don't even own DVDs. I remember people had VCR collections and stuff like that. Nobody has that stuff anymore. All of it is in the digital universe. And I think it's just indicative of this culture. And hopefully it doesn't get to the point where they're directly putting it into our minds. Look, y'all, technology in so many ways is awesome. But how many of us really, I mean, seriously, can navigate out there without a GPS? I'm talking to myself as well. You know, if I'm going someplace I've never been, I know how to read a map. And I'll tell you where the rubber hit the road in a big, big way over here. And when I was prepping this show and thinking about what I wanted to talk about, right after Hurricane Helene, we had no, despite NPR taking a bow for this, none of the radio stations around here were telling, for 3 days, NPR didn't even mention how bad this thing was. And I remember going to my town in Mars Hill and people lined up one side down the other on the gas station. A lot of people were passing through. Gas station was out of gas. Everybody was stuck there. Here's the crazy thing. Because the phones weren't working, there were a lot of people that had no idea how to get where they were going. They had no maps. The maps, I think, that were available inside that particular corner grocery station, gas station, they were all gone. And there were people that had no idea how to get where they were going simply because, how are you going to use your phone? You can't. There were no signals anywhere, which, by the way, if you get down to brass tacks on that, I think a lot of that was by design. It was weird because the internet went out before the power. And if you know how that sort of thing travels up and down those poles, you know that that's an impossibility. Anyway, There's a whole lot of red flags about that whole Hurricane Helene thing, but I'll cover that at another time. But seriously, because there were no maps, even if they had maps, I'm wondering how many people even know how to use them. I'm deadly serious. I remember my dad teaching me how to read a map when I was a kid. And us, and, you know, feeling like a grown man because here I am navigating him down the road while he's driving. And we're trying to go to, I remember it was Keystone Lake back in Oklahoma. We're going to go there and go fishing, just me and him. And I'm navigating him the whole way there. And I just felt like, man, this is really, really awesome. But how many people could do that anymore? You know, there's a whole lot of skills and a whole lot of conveniences that we're just flushing down the toilet right now in a big, big way. And we have got to wake up and smell the corruption before we fall asleep drinking the hemlock. Because, folks, I'm not going to blow smoke here. I'm not a black pillar, even though people want to call me that or, you know, tell me, hey, can you do away with the black pill stuff, folks? If you only knew the full extent of where I think everything's going right now, you ain't seen black pill. Bottom line is, we rely on these conveniences so much that it's putting us in the grave. I really believe that in so many different ways. We are totally averse to any kind of discomfort, even if it means something that's going to benefit us. We don't want to do it. We'd rather sit in front of these screens. You know, my son takes my grandbaby out to the park, and there's nobody there. When my grandbaby was here, we go to the park. There's nobody there. Kids are not playing anymore. They're not outside playing football like we did when I was a kid. We just grab whatever kids were around and we play football. Or kids playing baseball or whatever the case may be. All those things aren't happening because these conveniences are too convenient. So, folks, all I'm saying is maybe you ought to get out and touch grass a little bit more. I'd make it a point every single day. In fact, it's kind of impossible for me not to, considering my vocation. But even the only real exposure that I have to any tech these days for any sustained period of time is when I'm doing this podcast or when I'm in an interview or whatever the case may be in those capacities. But I'm very, very careful because at the end of the day, this convenience, like George Washington said about government, it's a dangerous servant or a fearful master, depending on how you use it. So hopefully that was a blessing to everybody today. I'm hoping this goes far and wide. And by the way, I did an interview with Mike Adams. I was on there in the Health Rangers. So yeah, feel free to go check that out. Folks, it's getting crazier and crazier. And I just want to tell everybody, look, we pray for y'all. We ask you to pray for us because things are getting weird or getting crazier as if it couldn't get crazier already. It's getting crazier by the day, it seems. And so you know what that means. Till next time, we got to stay alert, stay alive. We'll see you. Channeling nature, the knowledge ring. We'll groove that run deep. Wisdom from soaring. Permaculture dream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth, truth, truth. From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.